We come now to our second lesson on the words, a remnant. We found those words in Romans 11 and verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. But let's go back to chapter 9 of the book of Romans. And let's begin reading verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osi, or Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people. There were some people that God had elected before the foundation of the world that he didn't bring forth till after he had done with Israel. He says, and I will call her beloved, which was not my beloved, was not beloved. Romans 9:26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. See, election was going to kick in. A remnant according to the election of grace. In the place and in the time. Times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So that they might find the Lord. All right, here's the verse I wanted to get to. Romans 9:27. Esaias, that is Isaiah, also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. It doesn't matter how many there were that could say, I am of Abraham. There wasn't that many could say that I am of Isaac, that is, of the line of Christ, the Messiah. They might have been physically, literally, nationally, naturally, Jews or Israelites, but they were not God's elect people, all of them. That all of them were not God's elect people. So there is a remnant that shall be saved out of the numbers that are of the sand of the sea in national Israel. The remnant started way back at the very beginning. Of course, we read you in Ephesians 1:4 that God elected or chose before the foundation of the world. But notice in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So God, his starter, that is, his the dough with the yeast in it that would help the rest of the dough rise, that remnant had come down to nobody but Noah and those that were with him in the ark. It got down that low. So he says everything was dead except Noah remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Then in chapter 9 in verse number 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So two little goats come out of the ark. They had to take care of them, make sure they had babies. You know, different animals, different fowls of the air and all of this. Noah had to take care of all that, and God had to take care of Noah so that his sons begin to have his sons' wives begin to have children, and God began to replenish the whole earth with just Noah and those that were in the ark. Don't worry about God. His remnant will not fail. His remnant in the day of Elijah said, one, me, I'm the only one left. God said, 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So God's remnant will not fail. That, what am I saying? I am saying quit looking at what is, while we look not at the things which are seen. I understand what is. Listen, dear soul, I have aches and pains about life just like you do. I'm talking about emotionally speaking, mentally speaking. I can't hardly stand to see these people destroying America and what they're doing to it. But I have to get my eye off of that and say, wait a minute. God is letting the nations, all the nations, go down one by one and out of every nation. I need to look at God's remnant and at God's spiritual people. And I don't go and look at church buildings. And I don't go and look at TV shows of preachers or choirs up there in their robes and clapping their hands and saying, yay, yay for Jesus. I have to go to the Word of God. I have to go by the Holy Spirit. I have to cry out to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and consider Him, lest I grow weary and faint in my mind. Why? Because all that God is doing does not physically appear to us to encourage us. Quit trying to seek encouragement from that which is only discouraging. So we need to consider whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Think on these things. Again, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are deathless, are eternal. Look at Genesis 45. I'd like to show you something, if you don't mind. Genesis 45. The book of Genesis, chapter 45, if I can get to it. And verse number 7. This is Joseph, now second highest to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And his brothers have finally come to him, and he has finally made them know who he is. And they're standing there saying, oh, my goodness, we would have murdered that boy if, what was it, Reuben? One of them hadn't said, let's don't do it, let's sell him and preserve him alive. And he's got absolute control over our lives. If with one word, he can have all of us killed, because his word is the same as Pharaoh's. And also, not only that, but he's in charge of all the food, all the grain, all the corn in the whole world. And he can cut us off, and my mom and daddy and children and brothers and sisters will all die of starvation. So they're standing there before him. And listen to what Joseph says. I love Joseph. He is a magnificent Christian brother. This is what he says to his brothers. Genesis 45:7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. One man, little piece of starter dough in the back of the refrigerator. One man, a little remnant, a remnant according to the election of grace, and he saved the whole race of Israel. Unbelievable. Now, this is something I hadn't seen till I studied this lesson. The book of Amos. Can you find Amos? It's on page 912. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Therefore the prudent, that is, they that understand and they that be wise, therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. And evil times like we're in cause you to just don't want to say nothing. It's just past communications. They seek good and not evil, that ye may live. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Wow. I don't know if I've ever read that in my Bible before. I didn't remember it, but there it is. Joseph is saying, God sent me before you as a little remnant, as a little piece of starter to get you back to the place where God wants you. God brought the whole human race, millions of human beings on the earth, down to 8 people in the ark. Started it all over with Noah. God brought Israel down to the place of almost starvation. Had to move out of their country, move into the land of Goshen. And there was Joseph, a little remnant. And it says, this is a time of evil when you learn to keep silent. He said, seek good and not evil, that you may live. How do you do that? It's a time of evil. You just said in verse 13, it's a time of evil. But seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of your hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment. You keep on doing right. The way you deal with lies, the thing you do to come up against lies is tell the truth. The way you come up against evil is you always do good. It's always right to do right. Listen, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Now listen, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Isn't that precious? Isn't that good? You know, we're given examples looking unto Jesus. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. How dare they lay a hand on the precious eternal Lamb of God? But they did. He turned the other cheek. He went the second mile. He did that which was right. He knew that his Father was the one that was in charge. You could have no authority against me if it were not given you from heaven. Submit to the Lord, not just to Pharaoh. And not to the Roman emperor or Caesar. Submit to the Lord. If I have to submit to Pharaoh in doing that, then well and good. But I'm going to hate the evil and love the good, and I'm going to seek after it. And even though it's hurting me, and even though it's coming against me, and even though it's blasphemous against me, and even though it is scalding my reputation and make me look like an idiot, I'm looking unto Jesus and I'm considering the spiritual things. I may not open my mouth, he says, therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. If you're prudent, if you have understanding and you're wise, you know what God's doing. And listen, if Jesus said, if they did this to your master, why do you think they won't do it to you as his servant? But just remember this, God is remembering the remnant. And here, well here in the book of Amos, far away from the book of Genesis where Joseph spoke, he said, I'm just a little remnant to save you alive. God remembers the remnant of Joseph. Ain't God good? Another one, Numbers chapter 26. I want to so fill your mind with the remnant and the hope of the remnant that the devil's going to have a hard time getting it out of you, and you're going to be fortified with the word of God concerning the remnant. And somebody said, I just get more sometimes in these messages than what I can consume, and I don't want to waste it and I don't want to lose it. And I said, have you ever seen a picture of a little kid sitting in his high chair with his first birthday cake, a chocolate cake, and he's got chocolate all over his fingers, he's got chocolate all over his face, he's got chocolate all over his mouth, he's got chocolate all over his clothes, he's got chocolate all over his high chair, and we hope he got some birthday cake in his mouth. He said, yeah. I said, that's you. God will give you so much on this remnant. You have so much chocolate cake, it'll be all over your face. God will have to dig it out of your ears. You get it in your hair. It just get all over you. And I want to so cover you up with good old chocolate cake remnant gospel that the devil's going to have a hard time trying to clean you up and get it off of you. Amen. All right, Numbers chapter 26 and verse number 65. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. I know I mispronounced that. You take care of it. And Joshua, the son of Nun. There was not a man left of them except Caleb and Joshua. Two people. He let all those hundreds, thousands, die in the wilderness and brought two men out. And yet God didn't lack for any true good Israelites. When Joseph was the only man in Egypt working for the good of Israel, God wasn't biting his fingernails. There is a remnant according to, you got to remember, the remnant is according to God's purpose. God did it. God purposed it. And it was not going to fail. A remnant according to the election of grace. Man may hate the doctrine of election, but he can't mess it up. He wasn't there when God elected. He can't make sure that God doesn't elect or doesn't finish election. For whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also sanctified. And dear soul, and those he sanctifies, he's going to glorify. It's going to happen. Nobody can undo it. Nobody can get up there to God in the essence of God's glory and power and get in there and undo God. You can't do it. Satan can't undo it. Those people that hate you can't undo it. Those people that hate me can't undo it. God has done it, and it will stand, dear soul. And you can get it all the way down to Noah. It'll work. Get it all the way down to Joseph. Don't make any difference. Get it all the way down to Caleb and Joshua. But it's going to work. What I'm telling you is you all right. You all right. Get some of that chocolate off your on your face and put it in your mouth. Believe this gospel I'm preaching to you. God provided this for you today. Open your mouth wide and eat it. In Judges chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Talking about the heathen nations. Well, let's make it 20. Judges 2:20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto, excuse me, my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Even when there are nations that are left that God has ordained to come up against Israel, even though there are sanctified enemies that will come up against you, it does not negate the remnant. You're still God's elect. And just because evil and wicked people are coming up against you and saying all manner against you falsely for his sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're in good company. This is what happened to Noah. This is what happened to Caleb and Joshua. This is what happened to Joseph. Listen, God will leave these people to try and test and improve and develop and sanctify the remnant. Did they stumble that they might fall? No. God forbid. But they stumbled that they might fall in order that Israel might be sanctified and brought into a greater understanding and perception of God and His glory, because the remnant are going to be made to know the ways of God, not just the acts of God. I was a church member for 7 years, and all I knew was the acts of God, what He did. I knew about David and the John. I knew about the Red Sea, and I knew about the, you know, this and that and the other. But only when God saved me out of Christianity. There's an unusual term, isn't it? Save me out of Christianity. Save me out of religiosity. Did I come to know the ways of God? Somebody tells a woman, said, we saw your husband with another woman down yonder at the motel. And she said, you lying. They say, well, were you down there? Did you see? Nope. How do you know that he was not down there with another woman? I know that man, and I know he wouldn't do that. Bingo. We come to know God's ways by having all of this brought up against us and understand that we are that remnant according to the election of grace that God is never going to let fall. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also sanctified. Dear soul, listen, that they might be conformed to the image of his dear son. It is an unbreakable chain. It will occur according to God's purposes. Eat your chocolate cake. Listen. God knows this. God alone knows it. The book of Ezra chapter 9, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, then Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, the Egyptian, and the Amorites. Verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice I arose, this is Ezra the priest saying, this grieved me so bad. At the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, the captivity, the spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. What was it that made Ezra have some encouragement? It was the awareness of a remnant. Isn't that good? And dear soul, God is no respecter of persons. And if he did this for Ezra in the Old Testament before Christ Jesus ended all sacrifices and came and satisfied God on your behalf, he will do it for you. The only way you can miss out on this is if you don't get in here and get some chocolate cake all over your face and believe God. Listen, from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place. that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Would you like that today? Everything's going wrong. Yep. Would you like to have a nail in a sure place? Something you can hang your soul on and it won't wobble or fall off the wall. It sticks and it holds up everything that you believe in. Then God will lighten your eyes and give you a little reviving in your bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. We're down here in this strange land. We're bondmen. We're slaves. They own us. We can't do anything we want to of ourselves. There's no liberty or freedom at all. If they say no, we can't do it. If they say yes, we got to do it. But within that, God gave us a little reviving in our bondage. This is that peace that passes understanding. I understand all of this, but I got a peace that goes beyond that. But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? God is so good. It is the awareness of the remnant that caused Ezra to have a little reviving in his bondage and to lighten his eyes and to remind him that God hasn't changed. My situation has changed. It's not what it once was. I lost my liberty, my freedom. I'm down here in bondage. These heathen are grieving me to death with their ungodliness. But God hadn't changed. This old America today is not the America I was born in. It is unbelievable. And yet, people today, they think this is normal. But you can't talk to them about it. They don't know. They don't understand. You're in a mess. But dear soul, God hasn't changed. America has changed. Our freedoms have changed. Our decency has changed into vulgarity. But God hasn't changed. And since God hasn't changed, the remnant hasn't changed. There is still a remnant according to the election of grace. Got nothing to do with Parliament. Got nothing to do with Congress. Got nothing to do with the House of Representatives. Got nothing to do with opinion. It has nothing to do with polls. How much percent of this and how much makes no difference. God hasn't changed. And you are God's child. And dear soul, he that hath delivered his son up, Romans 8:32. He that has freely delivered his son up, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You've got the one thing that makes you know you can have everything. If you can have his son, you can have all things. Romans 8:32. You need to write that down. Put it on your refrigerator. Write it on backwards on your forehead so you can see it when you look in the mirror. God hasn't changed. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Before we finish, I would like to read you all of that Isaiah said, but I can't. So let's go to the words of Jesus again, Matthew chapter 7. And put some more chocolate in your ears. Put some more chocolate on your face. Just get it all over you. And some of these babies, they get chocolate on them so much, they take their little shirt off and just let them sit there and bare chested and get chocolate cake all over their chest. Listen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. This is Jesus. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the remnant according to the election of grace. You say, oh, just few going to be able to find it? Wait a minute, say it the other way around. Praise God that no matter who goes in the way of destruction in verse 13, there are going to be those who do find it. Why? You say, well, there are only few. But yeah, but why do the few find it? Why don't they enter into the way of destruction with the rest of the gang? Because there is a remnant according to the election of grace. It's not done by the Baptists. It's not done by the Calvinists. It's not done by the confessions of faith. It's not done by bunching together and ganging up on God and having a day of prayer and all that stuff. It's done because God would have it done. And not only God would have it done, God did it. Elected in Him from before the foundation of the world. There is a remnant according to, not the Pope, not all the great names in religion, but God did it. A remnant according to the election of grace. That's the reason the devil don't want you to believe in election, is because there's power in it. Because it puts all the authority where it belongs. It puts at the feet of Jesus. He is the one that hath done this, not we are. Sales. Matthew 20 and verse 16. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 20 and verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. The gospel witness has gone out and called many. They walked away. They were pleased to walk with us for a while. They were pleased to sit with us on these same benches and sing the same songs and come and observe the same days and services that we were, but they finally fell away. Why is that? Because they were not according to the remnant that is established by the election of grace. You better be thankful for election. If it wasn't for election, nobody would be saved. God hath chosen them from the beginning. Isn't that good? And those of us that are in the back of the line, those who are the offscourings of the earth, those who are the weak things and the base things and the things which are naught, God's going to turn it around. And the last shall be first. And that's going to be King Jesus at the head of the line with all of us little youngins strung out behind him. And the first shall be last. They're going to know what it is to be in the back of the line. God hath ordained it that way. Matthew 22 and verse 14. I'm just reading you some things Jesus said. I thought maybe that might hurt you, help you. I thought maybe that might bring you out of your depression. I thought maybe that the Word of God is powerful and maybe the Holy Spirit will apply it to your soul and heart and mind. And maybe you'll jot down these verses in your heart of hearts. And maybe God will help you see that this is a blessed time because you are those that God has established as a remnant according to the election of grace. Matthew 22. Verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said that. You say, well, you just read that. Well, I wonder, he said it again. It's over here in another chapter, in another situation. I want you to understand and know that Jesus believes in this, that Jesus is preaching this, that Jesus is establishing this. Many are called. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Everybody ought to hear the gospel. Many are called. But dear soul, the only reason I hadn't fallen by the wayside like a lot of them have is because there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Matthew 24 and verse number 22. Matthew 24, 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Watch it now. But for the, who do you think? Church members? That's not what he says. This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, and that's the ones that are involved in the remnant. A remnant according to the election of grace. And for those elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. If you don't shorten those days, they are so powerful and that tribulation is so great and there is such a strong delusion sent upon the earth that even the elect would fall. Except those days be shortened. And Jesus said, I will shorten those days because there is a remnant according to the election of grace and they shall never fall. Ain't God good? That's the way that it is. Oh, my soul. Revelation 19. Let's go over here to the back of the Bible and see what happened down at the end. Revelation 19, beginning with verse 19. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, that is Christ. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Would you read me the next sentence down to the first comma? Revelation 19 and verse 21. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. This is the evil remnant. Everybody that was left to follow the beast and the whore and the false prophet and Satan himself shall be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. And this remnant, the evil remnant, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the flesh, all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That gospel sword, it goes out of the mouth of Jesus. Double edge, cuts going and coming. Cuts away sin from some and sets them free. Cuts others to the heart and causes them to bleed to death and to die. It's that gospel, dear soul, the most powerful agent God ever turned loose on planet Earth. The bomb at Hiroshima is nothing. It's a penny firecracker compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God gave you as a remnant according to the election of grace. You've got the gospel. It's the power of God unto the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. God said the remnant will never be taken, but their remnant going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to be slain with the sword that proceeds out of the mouth of him that rides the horse. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good. While we're in the book of the Revelation, go to chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Excuse me. Be careful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, a remnant, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Dear soul, as wicked as religion may be, as wicked as churches may be, as deceived as you as one of God's elect may be by them, and you are persuaded by their personalities and by the warmth of their spirit, and you have been deviated from the truth of God, and you, like Peter, are going to have to go out and weep bitterly because you have been warming yourself by the world's fires, and you will deny the man of God and say, I know him not. God said, I'm not going to let you go. Just so we don't really know grace till we understand how bad a sinner we are. Revelation 11. I don't know what's wrong with my throat. Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, excuse me, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Here are these who are the remnant according to the election of grace. They have been so overcome by hatred and envy and strife and emulation and jealousy that they have been, like Amos said, it's just a day of evil, so they stopped talking. It just killed out all communion. But then God raised them up on their feet. And what did God say? Come up hither. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. There will be one day when all of this ungodliness that blankets us and suppresses us and smothers us will be blown asunder, as God said, come up hither, and raises us up in the spirit of the holy God and causes us to have that boldness once again and ascend up in the crowd in a cloud of God's glory, and the enemies will behold us and they'll say, uh-oh. I shouldn't have come up against those people. I should have been listening to what they said. But it'll be too late then, dear friend. That's the way that it is. So we are given an understanding that no matter how bad things are, and that's what the Apostle Paul was writing about, God casting off his people. He said, but he didn't cast off those who were elected, and that they are a remnant of grace. He's not going to cast off those whom he foreknew. He is going to still remember the remnant of Joseph, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still going to remember his word to you and his election of you. And you shall never finally fall away, dear friend. God is going to take care of you. And I encourage you today to be encouraged by the things which are not seen. The just shall live by faith. You have eyes to see, look at them. You have ears to hear what the Lord is saying. Quit listening to the world. Quit making your ears garbage cans for all the junk the world's putting in it. Enjoy the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. You don't have to be in all that junk and garbage, so beat down and oppressed and overcome, dear soul, because you are one of God's elect. How do I know? That's another message. He says, make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, you need to find out what those things were, according to Peter. You can make your calling and election sure, and you will never fall. Our Father, I pray that you would overcome God's people's minds and hearts, and you would so saturate them with thy Holy Spirit that they would be overcome by the goodness of God and look unto Jesus and rise up and transcend this world and its ungodliness and its stench and be brought up into the sweet aroma of the pomegranates and the beautiful things of the Lord, that we might dwell in the garden of God with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Receive all the glory in Christ's name. Amen.